Welcome to hour two of In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We kick off our Wednesday noon with the Dakota Political Junkies. Today, we welcome Denise Ross and Dana Ferguson. Denise joins us from Rapid City. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
And Dana Ferguson joins us from Sioux Falls. Welcome back, Dana.
Thank you.
All right, let's start in Sioux Falls and expand that conversation statewide because Mayor of Sioux Falls Mike Huether has come out in the press with an exclusive interview with the Argus Leader saying he would consider or he desires a statewide office such as governor. That's kind of the gold standard for him, and he's thinking about it. Dana, what do you know about why Mayor Huether is talking about this now?
Yeah, so it sounds like Mayor Huether talked to Stu Whitney, our columnist here, and essentially said if it was up to him, he'd like to be governor someday. That probably doesn't come as a huge surprise to a lot of people. He, for a while, has called himself sort of the governor of Sioux Falls or mayor of South Dakota, so not a huge surprise that that is an office that he aspires to. But now it's really a question of if that's something he can manage, if he can run a campaign that would be successful ahead of 2018 or later on, especially now that he's separated himself from the Democratic Party and said he's really an independent and that's the road he's hoping to travel.
Does he have a strategy? Is separating himself from the Democratic Party part of the strategy? And what else does he seem to be? How else does he seem to be positioning himself?
You know, it certainly seems like he believes that's going to be an effective strategy for him. We all thought it was, at least in our newsroom, a little surprising when he came out and said that he was going to become an independent, that he no longer wanted to be a part of the Democratic Party in South Dakota. In some ways, that could be seen as a tactic that could get him additional support from Republicans in the state or the growing number of independent voters in the state, though it's a question whether Democrats will continue to support him now that he's separated himself, and whether Republicans could ever really get behind a candidate who has been a Democrat and has now moved away from that and has started making moves to seem more moderate or even more aligned with President Trump and some of the things that he has said and done.
Denise, do people outside of Sioux Falls know who Mike Huether is? And do you think this is an interesting conversation to have right now, or is it just something that's playing well in the city?
Well, I think the people who do know him would be the people like us who follow politics closely.
Right.
Beyond that, I don't think there's a great sense of who he is. I happen to like to tune into the Kello TV newscast in the evening, so I see him on TV a lot. I'm not sure what their market share is out here in Rapid City, but that's probably about where the level is going to be of who's familiar with Mike Huether. He's not somebody who comes up in conversation out here. And I think he's going to have, kudos to Stu Whitney for just a great piece on this political force that took hold in Sioux Falls and now it has an eye on the whole state. But I think he's going to have a tougher road than he might think. And if I were covering this, my big question after reading that piece was, okay, how many votes are there in Sioux Falls, and how many are there in the rest of the state? And that kind of gives you a breakdown of where he really has to do the work to earn the votes. And I'm not sure, you know, where his approval ratings are after a couple terms in office as mayor. When I do talk to my friends in Sioux Falls, I do not, to be honest, do not get glowing reviews about their interpersonal interactions with him. And so I'm not sure, you know, who his voter base is. And how he would expand that statewide in a state that, quite frankly, doesn't look like Sioux Falls. It's kind of the flip side of the coin of the challenges and concerns and worries out in the rest of the state versus Sioux Falls, which has just been a growth machine. In Sioux Falls, you're managing growth. In a lot of the rest of the state, you are not managing growth. You are trying to revitalize and do all those other sorts of things.
So, Denise, when Greg Jamieson from Sioux Falls came on the program before this session, he talked about being a lawmaker from Sioux Falls, and I remember him saying, Sioux Falls is the elephant in the room, and everybody wants to kick the elephant. So how does just being from Sioux Falls in the first place affect you in a statewide run?
Well, so there's a couple of things about that. And I want to backtrack just a little bit. When I read Sue Whitney's article, I noticed that there was a lot of talk about Mike Huther and not anything that I could see about what he wanted to do for the state in terms of where he saw the potential for improvement and where he would focus his energies and efforts if he were elected governor. So I think that's your first challenge in a state that's heavily retail and what I call no BS politics in this state. People don't care, you know, what office you've been elected to before or how big you are. You know, just ask Tom Daschle. Anybody is subject to the whims of the voters in this state. But, you know, back to your question, being from Sioux Falls used to be sort of the kiss of death. I don't know if that's still true. I think people are pragmatic. So many people have children who've moved to Sioux Falls and live there and work there. So many people commute into Sioux Falls to work. And then you've got the other thing that's good, you know, in Huther's benefit is he has a real track record that he can get out there and promote as a candidate. He can say, I've done this, this, and this for the city of Sioux Falls, and here's how it can translate the rest of the state. Here's what I've learned. Here's how I can take what I've done and make it bigger and better for the whole state. So I think those are, in a way, it could be a benefit to him in terms of saying, we've had some real success on my watch as mayor, and please let me do that for the entire state.
So Denise, as we talk about how many people are in Sioux Falls, what is his approval rating? Do we have a sense of whether his own city would really show up for him big time in a statewide election?
Yeah, I don't have that information. I don't know if Dana has a better sense.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say. I meant to say Dana.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I think there's a pretty split sort of assessment of him based on the people that I've talked to. Sioux Falls, there are a lot of people who really like him or a lot of people who really dislike him. And I would be interested to see how that would turn out at the polls, if that would be enough potentially to even carry him again in Sioux Falls. I think people have been sort of having mixed reviews to some degree about how much he's accomplished here. And the way at least that this plays out in our newsroom, I hear a lot about how he treats city reporter Joe Sneevy, and they've had a fairly adversarial relationship for the past year and a half or so. So I don't know that that would change if he makes his move to run for governor. But it would certainly be something interesting to watch.
I'm curious, Dana, about what Denise said about him managing growth in Sioux Falls. I think the recent news out of Sioux Falls is that maybe that growth has slowed down a little bit. Are we looking to see a challenge? Are we looking to see Mike Huther face a challenge of you know, managing a tighter budget as part of the overall package of whether or not he'd make an efficient governor?
Yeah, you know, that's something he's certainly having to deal with now. City sales tax, much like sales tax revenues across the state, are not coming in at the rates that anyone thought they would. So now's going to be a time when all eyes are really on him to see if he can manage the city effectively, work that budget the way that people in the city would like him to, and how that what is going to have to be sacrificed here to really balance the books with a lot less money than he thought he was going to have.
And one of the things Dana I thought was interesting in the Stu Whitney piece was he really captured the competitive nature of Mike Huther. He's not interested in running just to get some name recognition. He's hasn't decided, we should be clear, whether or not he'll run for governor in 2018, but he is definitely weighing his chances along with the other things that go into making the decision. He's not in it to just let people know who he is.
Right. I think he's made it pretty clear that he's not going to go for it unless he thinks he has a good shot at it. And it's still unclear exactly how good a shot he will have.
Dana, let's go ahead and go back to this idea of switching from the Democratic Party and talk about the Democrats in general in the state. And if you go to argusleader.com, you can find Dana's work and a story that just came up about Democrats considering replacing their party chair. What do you know?
Yeah. So this weekend, the state party is set to hold McGovern Day, which is a very big day of the year for Democrats in South Dakota. They remember the legacy of George McGovern. And this coming weekend especially sounds like it might be a very eventful one for Democrats as well as Republicans. So first, Democrats are set to consider some constitutional amendments brought forth by a Vermilion Democrat named Rochelle Norberg. She says she's really interested in cleaning up some of the language in the Constitution, but more interestingly, she really wants to reform the party officer election process. And if it's up to her, they're going to essentially pass these amendments and have the opportunity to replace Chair Ann Thornburg potentially on Saturday. This would cut Thornburg's term basically in half. And there are some who are saying, you know, this is the way we need to go. The party needs to change pretty drastically if we're going to have any success in 2018, while others are saying, you know, we need to maintain experience in that office and make sure we have someone who knows what they're doing heading into the gubernatorial election, House election, et cetera.
What do you think is driving it, Dana? Is it just an overall frustration with the state of the party in the state, or is it personal to Ann Thornburg?
You know, I've heard both. A number of individuals who have worked with her in the past say that they don't see her as an effective leader. Obviously, the 2016 election did not result in very much success for the party. And so they are saying we need to shake things up. That's something we've heard since November, really, when Paula Hawks, who ran for U.S. House, came out and said she didn't get the support she needed from the party and from Thornburg. But on the flip side, Thornburg and others who aren't even her biggest supporters say, you know, we need to give her a chance. We shouldn't be shaking this up so much at the last second, especially if it's going to mean potentially more division in the party that has already been fairly divided. Hmm.
Denise, what do you make of all this?
Well, you know, and I'm not as familiar with all of the different personalities as Dana is, but my sense is that, you know, Democrats nationwide are kind of in the same boat as they've been in South Dakota for a while. And you're just now seeing the national party structure move back to a 50-state strategy that they had earlier under the term of Howard Dean 10 or so years ago. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see how that develops, how much money that brings back in, because quite frankly, if you don't have the money to pay a staff, it's hard to get a lot of work done. Volunteers can do some of that. There is, you know, and I say to be a Democrat in South Dakota, you've got to be a passionate Democrat, because there aren't a lot of upsides in terms of your career, your business enterprise, all these other different things that can happen to you because the Republicans so dominate the state government and a lot of other areas of government. So the people who are Democrats are passionate, and they do turn out for events and they do volunteer, but they're limited in number, and of course their time is limited. And so if money is coming down the pike to hire some staff, then that will have as much of an impact as who's actually chairing the party, I think. Mm. And again, there's also a split in the Democratic Party. You know, you've got the Bernie Sanders wing, and then you've got more of the establishment, which they say Hillary Clinton, I don't know if that's quite the right label to use anymore, but the more establishment wing of the party. And so my suspicion is that may be at play here, too.
Yeah. Dana, what's coming up for Republicans this weekend?
Well, the same day and in the exact same hotel as Democrats are going to be hosting DNC Vice Chair Keith Ellison. State Republican leaders are going to also be holding an event with author and speaker David Horowitz, who has actively criticized Ellison. We're going to have a story coming out hopefully tomorrow about that, just previewing sort of the smackdown of political proportions that's set to go on at the Ramcota here. but they've been pretty open as far as Republican leaders in saying it was a direct reaction to Ellison coming to South Dakota that they selected Horowitz. They wanted to make sure that opposite viewpoints were being represented in Sioux Falls, and it's going to be a pretty big event by the sound of it. So neither chair was super concerned about any sort of negative interactions taking place between the individuals who go to either one of those. But there have been steps taken to make sure that they're not right next door. As there was some concern about that, they're going to be on opposite sides of the hotel, but it sounds like it could be a pretty big evening in Sioux Falls.
So, Dana, what do we need to know about Keith Ellison, and what do we need to know about David Horowitz?
Well, they are essentially as opposite as you can be as far as political views. One on the very far right, the other on the very far left. My guess is that they are going to be drumming up support from either party. They want to make sure that South Dakota Democrats for Ellison's side of things and South Dakota Republicans for Horowitz's side of things are feeling excited, invigorated. Horowitz, it sounds like, is going to be talking a lot about President Trump and the successes that he has had early on in his presidency, whereas it sounds like Ellison is going to be talking about how the Democratic Party is really re-engaging and trying to rebuild after the 2016 election and some of the failures that it saw at the polls. So I would imagine there will be some back and forth, and we'll see some of that, I would guess, in the days leading up to that event as well.
Denise, when you look at events like this, is it healthy to have that sort of galvanizing talk to energize the base, or are we just talking more division and argument and not coming together? What's the impact?
I'm thinking towards the latter. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine that there could be any productive dialogue between those people turning out to see these two folks, and it's a little bit disheartening to know that the reaction to one political party bringing in a speaker, and not just any speaker, the vice chairman of the state of the national party, is to bring in somebody that's just going to be a lightning rod against them and do this sort of political theater where you're hosting your event in the same facility as theirs. And I don't know what you hope to accomplish. It seems to me like part of what's plaguing our politics and our political debate in this country more so than trying to, you know, achieve any goal or solve any problems or actually make average people's lives better. So, it doesn't sound to me like it's going to have a great impact on the state debate.
And Dana, you mentioned this sort of a lot of the work you've been doing lately online at ArgusLeader.com has dealt with sort of the politics of religion, too. How does that tie into this, or does it not?
I think it certainly does. We've seen in our community recently a lot of dialogue, and it sounds like there are other cities in South Dakota that are having similar conversations about religion, free speech, and more recently, the right to bear arms when you're making some of those comments that might be upsetting to other individuals. So there is some concern that just the context here is going to give way to some arguments, potentially violence, and it's the hope of the chairs of both parties that there won't be any negative interactions like that. But following a speaking event a couple weeks ago at which the speakers were making some anti-Islam comments, there was clearly a group that peacefully protested and then another individual who came out and made comments that attorneys here deemed threatening. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty, some concern, and just a desire to have more awareness. And I don't know that having these two coinciding events is really going to get the community of Sioux Falls to any sort of productive place in having more of this conversation.
All right. Well, we'll follow the coverage. ArgusLeader.com, Dana Ferguson will be there. Big weekend in the state for both Republicans and Democrats. Dana, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And Denise Ross, thank you for being here as well. It is always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lori.